Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 as a starting point. This is a key verse, a memory verse inside the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had been warning his disciples not to be overly anxious about this, that, or the other thing, but instead take this principle: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So look after God's things in God's way, and then all these things will be added to you. What are those things? Food, clothing, shelter, things of that nature. So take care of God's business first and see how he will bless you in such a way that all of your needs will be met as well. Now, this was all in the context of materialism and greediness and anxiety. And so he reinforces his teaching one more time. Verse 34 of Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus had already said, look, you can't change the color of your hair by worrying about it. You can't change the length of your life by worrying about it. There's nothing that you can change by just worrying about it. Just understand, life is going to move forward. You need to take care of what you can take care of. Pursue things God's way, and let him sort the rest of the stuff out. Now, the materialism aspect of this whole conversation is reinforced in Luke chapter 12's wrap-up. Luke 12, 31 is the equivalent to Matthew 6, 33. It says, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Then verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So always keep in mind, God wants what's best. And so you can anticipate that he will help move things in that direction. Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, and with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this we'd already seen in another passage, that God wants us to be more focused on doing things his way and not be self-serving and self-centered. So take care of other people. Make sure that you don't just simply look out for number one. And then you won't have to worry so much about how things are going to be taken care of. Because if you're taking care of God's business, God will be taking care of your business. Now we come to Matthew chapter number 7. The whole sermon has been focused on this idea that we have got to be better people than the Pharisees. Jesus said, unless your righteousness, that is your core thinking process, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom. So we've got to be genuine. We've got to be God's real people from the core outward. It should cause us to do things God's way. And that includes treating people properly, fairly, with respect, which is where Jesus goes next. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that you may not be judged. Now, this is one of those passages of Scripture, for some reason, non-Christians know it so that they can quote it. And more often than not, they miss the point when they quote it. Jesus is not saying here that you cannot tell people that what they're doing is wrong. Sometimes that needs to happen. Jesus is saying, don't do a double standard. Don't be like the Pharisees who would expect the people to follow certain rules that they themselves wouldn't follow. You know, we have this attitude that some people take that rules are for thee, they are not for me. That's the Pharisaic mindset. And so Jesus here is going to tell all of us who are his followers, you need to have the exact same standard across the board for everybody, including yourself. So that's the point here. Let's continue. Judge not, that you will not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we're being told, think before you condemn other people, because God's going to turn around and use that exact same standard for you. Let's read the Luke passage, Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your lap. Now, that's a reference to the way that people used to sell bulk products. You always wanted to shop at the stall where when the person measured you a bushel of grain, they would put it in and then they'd shake the grain and then pack it down and then add a little bit more and shake it and pack it down because they were trying to give you as much of a bushel of grain as was humanly possible. So you want that sort of generosity when it's being applied to you. And if you want that generosity applied to you, you need to be applying that to other people. And we're not just talking about buying stuff and selling stuff. We're talking about interactions. If you expect people to give you a break, you have to give people a break. If you expect people to cut you some slack, be patient with you in certain circumstances, you know, give you a little bit more time to get your act together, then you've got to do that toward other people. That's Jesus' point here. It will be measured back to you the way you measure it out. And that means you want to be eminently fair. In the Matthew account, Matthew 7:3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Now, Jesus, of course, grew up working in wood. He was a carpenter, a technon. He worked in construction with wood products. And you know what happens when you're working with wood, when you're shaving and planing and drilling and all of that stuff. Sooner or later, a little bit of a wood chip or sawdust is going to get up in your eye. And so Jesus uses that as an illustration. How is it that you can see the little piece of sawdust that got into your friend's eye, your brother's eye, but you're not noticing you've got a great big piece of wood, a big piece of planed lumber sticking out of your eye? See, this is supposed to be a laugh line. It's supposed to be funny. Because no one would think that that is even possible. How could you not know that you've got this big chunk of wood sticking out of your eye and you're all focused on fixing somebody's little sawdust problem? Jesus goes on, he says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when there's this log in your own eye? You play actor, you hypocrite. Remember, you you play actor, you stage actor, you guy that's putting on a performance, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So we want to be eminently fair to other people. And that means we got to pay attention to the standard we use and pay attention to our own situation. Now, sometimes we may need to involve ourselves in a problem that a friend has while we still have our own problems. And we need to acknowledge that in the process. We are not perfect persons, but we are persons who are willing to work on our problems even as we're trying to help people work on their problems. And that's perfectly fair. That's eminently fair. Now, Jesus does throw some strange warnings in here that we have to sort through in our own culture because they're idiomatic. Verse 6 of Matthew 7, he says, "Do not give dogs what is holy." Now, the dogs of Jesus' day, the majority of them that were thought of, were the dogs that ran loose through the neighborhoods. They apparently didn't really belong to anybody. They were just scavenger dogs, feral. And they were the ones that would tear into your garbage and spread it all over the lawn. Nobody loves those dogs. You know, those are not pets. And so Jesus says, don't give to those stupid feral dogs stuff that's special. Holy things. Things that belong to God. Don't give that to those that won't appreciate it. And then he uses a parallel idiom. Don't throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, the Jewish people didn't keep pigs, but Gentiles did. And so Jews could see pigs from time to time in the Gentile part of their world. But all Jews would understand that pearls were very precious. They were very special items of wealth. You wouldn't take a pearl worth thousands of dollars and try to feed it to a pig. The pig would not be satisfied with that. There's no value in it. It's not like an acorn. And so he says, don't put your pearls in front of a pig and expect it to appreciate it. Because what's more likely to happen is they're going to get angry and turn around and attack you. And so what's the point? The point that Jesus is making here is understand that some of the people that you come across are not going to be ready for special information, for holy information, for the gospel message, if you will, because they're still caught up in their unsaved lives. And so once you realize that they are not yet reachable, don't keep pushing at them. Jesus will tell another parable about the four soil types. And the first soil type he talks about is the hard-packed earth soil, where the seed just bounces off the top of it and eventually gets gobbled up by the bird. And this is representative of hard hearts, hearts that are not ready to hear the gospel. And so when the gospel's preached to them, it just bounces off, and Satan makes sure that it gets erased from their memory bank, and they never think about it again. Well, there's only one way to change hard-packed earth, and that is you got to plow it up. And the same is true with a hard heart. And it's God that has to do the plowing, because circumstances are typically what open up and soften a person's heart. And so I think the parallel here is that we have to let God kind of work with some of the people in our lives to get them more prepared for what is holy and for the precious things to be offered to them from our hands. And so when we run across these barricaded situations, just pray about them. Keep an eye open, keep an ear to the ground, and ready to act if things get reversed by God. But don't waste precious time trying to feed dogs holy things that they don't want, or give to pigs precious things when they don't really want them. Go to people that are already ready to hear the gospel, and just keep praying for this bunch. At this point, I think I want us to go back to Luke chapter number 11 and talk about the persistence of prayer. Not exactly sure where to put this in the overall thing, so this is where I'm going to put it because of where it kind of fits in the Matthew chapter 7 sequence, some of the things that come up later in this sequence in Luke 11. So Luke 11:5, Jesus said to them, "Which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves'?" So you can kind of picture this in your mind. You're in the middle of the night and you need something suddenly. And so you go to a friend's house to ask them to help out, okay? So in this case, it's 3 loaves of bread. "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And then he will answer from within, "Don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." So the picture Jesus portrays is you've got a friend that you go to in the middle of the night because you're pretty sure he can help you out. And when you ask him, he doesn't want to help. He tells you, "I don't want to help. I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. I'm not getting up. I'm not opening this door to help you out." So what's the point that Jesus makes? Jesus says, "I tell you that though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his impudence," and the word I think is better persistence, insistence or persistence, "yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." So the guy just keeps asking, "Look, I'm here. I'm just outside your door. You're right there. You're talking to me. You're not asleep. Come on, you've got some bread. It won't take you but 5 minutes at the most, and then you can go back to bed, because I really need your help right now. Please." And so Jesus says, if he won't do it out of friendship, he'll at least do it out of the persistence of the guy. Now, what's the introduction to here? It's the introduction to this, verse number 9 of Luke 11. "I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Now that is exactly what we find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and following. "Ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." So the introductory parable was to show that we're talking about prayer. That God is listening to our prayers, and he answers them based on his relationship to us. But we ought to be persistent in our prayers, because some prayers don't get answered right away, do they? All of us know that, right? If you've been a Christian any time at all, you know that sometimes the prayer doesn't get answered right off the bat. We have to keep talking to God about it. And I think the rule of thumb is basically this. You keep talking to God about it until you get an answer one way or the other. The answer may be yes, the answer may be no, or the answer may be wait, or possibly quit talking to me about it. And so this is a persistence parable and story, and that we need to trust God as we keep talking to him about the things that are in our lives. Now, God already knows what we have need of. This goes to another place that we were already in the Sermon on the Mount, is that we don't just keep saying empty phrases over and over and over again, thinking that God will hear us by our much speaking. So we're not talking about rote prayers that can be used as magical incantations to force God to give us stuff. What we're talking about here is being persistent in the prayer till we see an answer of some sort, not giving up. Verse number 9 of the Matthew 7 passage, and it's paralleled, by the way, in the Luke 11. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? See, if your kid's hungry and he says, Dad, I need some food, would he just hand him a stone and say, here, enjoy? Or if he asks him for a fish, would he give him a serpent? No, this is silliness. If you then, who are evil, and the idea being you've got sin in your life, you're not a perfect person. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So when we pray, when we're asking and seeking and knocking, we're looking for the good things that God wants us to have. All of us as parents know, it doesn't matter how many times our child or our grandchild begs and pleads for that dangerous object that's up on the counter, a sharp knife or a gun or whatever it is. We're not going to give it to them because it would be dangerous for them to have it. And no matter how much they pester us, we're not going to give it to them. We want to give them the good things. And that's really what we want them to ask us for. And so here, we're the imperfect parents and grandparents. Let's think about God being the perfect parent. He wants us to ask for so that he can give us the good things. In the Luke passage, Luke, who often gives us commentary, gives us a very specific thing that God wants us to ask for, that he wants to give to us. Let's look at Luke 11, starting at verse 10 again. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks it'll be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, you know, not the best people, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So when we come to God, one of the big things that we want to talk to God about is relationship. We want to be restored in our relationship with him. We want to have the forgiveness of sins that come through Jesus Christ. We want to have the indwelling gift of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, leading us and guiding us. And that's what we want for other people as well. When we come to God, the big thing that we really want to talk to God about is, I want to see the people I love and care about repent and become followers of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you will help them open their eyes and see the truth. That's the sort of prayers that we ought to be praying. Have a great weekend. See you next Monday, if the Lord wills.